I appreciate all the comments that the other speakers have offered this morning so far. And this is an interesting study. And just to remind you, I like to set the stage. When I'm doing any Bible study, I want to make sure I set the stage for what's going on in the passages that we're studying. So remember now, Jesus has gone through the area of Galilee, and he's been healing and teaching, and the miraculous powers that Jesus has demonstrated to the folks around, they're coming by the droves and following him, trying to get him to heal all of their sick. And the Bible describes it as multitudes. And in verse 1, chapter 5, it said, "And seeing the multitudes..." So I don't know how big a multitude is, but in my mind, I'm thinking of a drove of folks, right? I'm thinking, you know, Athens on game day, right? I'm thinking of a bunch of people. For y'all folks that's not from Georgia, that's the football team, right? But so when he saw that and he saw all these people, so he separates with his group of disciples. Now, I also don't know the exact number of that group, but it's a much smaller group, because we know as he began his ministry, he went and he found Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he went through and he selected his core group. So he has taken now his core group and separated themselves into a mountain. It says, and when he was... And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So the multitude didn't come there. So it's a smaller group. It's a core group. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, all right, so he's about to give these core individuals who are his disciples. Now, what's a disciple? A disciple is somebody who is following the teachings of somebody else. I'll never forget the first time I heard Harry Cobb say that he was a disciple of Mohammed. And I thought, what? Harry Cobb? What are you saying to me? But what he was telling me is he also studied after the Quran so that he can answer the questions when the Islamic people would throw questions at him because he was a Christian. Well, in that way, he was a disciple of Muhammad. He studied after his teaching so that he could understand the errors of his teachings. These were not that kind of disciple. These were disciples who were following and attempting to learn from Jesus and to mimic his methods and his ways. And that's what we want to be. We want to be that kind of disciple that we're going and sitting before, and we want to imagine that we're sitting before Jesus as he's teaching these ideas and these concepts. And Brother Chad Prince last week, by the way, at Wadawi, talked about some of the Beatitudes. And one of the things he mentioned that I'd really, as an observation that I thought was interesting, is that each one of these Beatitudes are kind of in a, they have a form that's repeatable. And I like to see patterns. Patterns are good for me. I like patterns because I understand how to use a pattern. If I see something that develops over and over again, I understand more how to use it. So these have patterns, and he said in the first one, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So there is a characteristic that's described, and in the first one it's poor in spirit, that Brother Danny talked about. But then there's a condition that is ours if we meet the characteristic. We have the characteristics. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So there's a condition that we receive because of the characteristic that we display. But one of the things that Chad pointed out was if you read every one of these Beatitudes as we're going through this study, consider the fact that these are not exclusive of one another. These are all characteristics that Jesus is describing that his people will display, each one of them. So we can't be deficient in any one. We can't pick one and say, you know, well, I like this one, and this is the one that I'm going to try to develop. We have to develop them all. Just like we talk about the Christian graces, right? As you add virtue, knowledge, etc. It's not about just one of those ideas. It's about developing the entire group of characteristics. So, with that said, the one that we're going to talk about for just a little bit is verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So, while Brother Timmy was teaching I cheated. I sat and I used Google, and I Googled concordance and looked up the definition of meek. So the definition that I found on meek, so it comes from, as Oscar pointed out earlier, we have a lot of tools at our discretion today. Now let me tell you, if as you study the Bible, use it. Just remember that all these tools are not the Bible. So I'll caution you on that. But these tools are fantastic, and they help us to gain a deeper knowledge and a deeper understanding. And the word that meek comes from, the Greek word is praios, and I'm not a Greek scholar, so if I pronounce that wrong, just forgive me. But the one that I looked it up in spelled it P-R-A-O-S, praios. Says it's the necessary balance of exercising power and avoiding harshness. I got a cold right now, and or a sinus infection or something, and it affects my voice, and I have to push more air to speak. So I have to watch myself right now, because I sound much more harsh when I say things than I normally do, because I'm pushing more air. So I have to balance that as well, because sometimes people take what I say and they say, "Well, that was really, that was, you said that really harsh. Well, I didn't mean it harsh. It's just hard for me to speak to you right now, so I'm pushing, right? So I'm pushing air." But it's more than just behavior. It's more of a spirit, as Danny talked about. So meekness is a spirit that you have. I could stand up here and name a lot of brothers and sisters that I would put in that category of meek, because I've watched them over my life, and I have seen how they operate, and I've seen how they're not quick to draw judgments on people, and how they like to stop and listen and hear. And I'm not much of a conversationalist. I'm better at standing here talking to you. You guys, most of you know me and been around me some. I'm not much of a conversationalist. I don't listen well. I try, but I don't do it well. But some people are just gifted at listening. And when I find those people, I'll give you an example. Lorene Cofield, most of y'all know Sister Lorene. She is a gifted listener, because she makes me feel like I'm on top of the world when I talk to her. She is tuned in to what I'm saying. She's not worried about a cell phone, and she's not worried about who's walking around on the sides and the periphery. She is zoomed in on whatever I'm telling her. And it doesn't matter how important it is, but to her, she makes me feel like it is the most important thing in the world. She's a good listener. And I also put her on my list of people who are meek. Not that she hadn't in my lifetime offered me, we'll call it corrective advice, because she has, because she loves me. But she's a very meek person. She has that gentle, humble, content spirit. And by the way, those are three synonyms that I looked up that go along with meek. The idea of humble and gentle and content. So these are all ideas that we see. There is a very similar passage in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, and verse 11, to the one that we're studying here. And it says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So we talk about meek and meekness, being humble, gentle, content. But the back half of that verse says that the meek will inherit the earth. Well, what does that mean? So most of us understand how inheritance works. I mean, especially if you've, you know, been in the church most of your life, you study through the Old Testament. The Old Testament spends a lot of time talking about inheritance. Even the New Testament, when you get to the study about the prodigal son, and how he wanted his inheritance early. So we understand inheritance. It's not something that you've earned. It's something that's gifted to you. For example, as Christians, as God's children, we have a promise of an inheritance to come after this life. It's not because we earned it. It's not because we have done anything that we can say that we've earned this right to a home in heaven. We can't do that. It's gifted to us through our obedience to the gospel. So it's an inheritance. Yeah, it's conditional inheritance, isn't it, Danny? It's conditional on our obedience to the gospel. But again, as we study these Beatitudes, they're all conditional. There's characteristic and then there's a condition. That if you have that characteristic, then you're going to inherit the earth, it says. And in this passage, it says, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So as I look in my life at people that I have been acquainted with that I consider meek, I can honestly say that I can see in their life an abundance of peace. Because, again, y'all all know me. You know I like to move forward fast. Unlike Brother Oscar, I have not learned to take my time. I like to push ahead, and I like to create a plan, and I enjoy planning probably as much as executing the plan, because the plan's going to change, right? But I like the plan. I like to have a plan. I'd like to know what the next step is. And, you know, it didn't bother me at all that the plan just changed a little while ago when we had to be voluntold. But it didn't bother me. But at least I knew how to plan. Now I can make a new plan, right? The new plan goes like this. But I push. And my boss tells me that all the time, too, that I push sometimes just a little too hard. But it's kind of in my nature, and I work on that. So I need to learn to be more like these people who delight themselves in an abundance of peace. Because, and we'll talk about peacemakers in just a little bit, but because as a Christian, I am told to seek after peace and to live peaceable among all men as best I can, right? Jesus is offered as an example of meekness in Matthew chapter 11. We want to turn over there real quick to chapter 11 and verse 29. What's my timetable, Ron?
You've got plenty of time.
Okay, plenty of place.
I've got 11:30.
I got to be done by 4:12. Oh, we'll make that good. We got that good. All right. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29 and 30, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest under your souls. The idea, too, of meekness and lowliness of heart go hand in hand. This is not the only place that you find that combination. And you shall find rest under your souls. Or, in other words, you will enjoy an abundance of peace if you take that attitude, if you assume that attitude, if you work on that characteristic to the point that you can learn how to balance, as we said, the definition, the balance of power and avoiding harshness, right? So, and he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is offered, and he's even offered himself as an example of what meekness looks like. Now, and you hear the, you know, the little cliches that meekness isn't weakness. And, you know, okay, well, sometimes I get all torqued up when I hear people use these little cliches. But it's a good way to remember that. It's a good way to think about that idea. Because it's not about being weak. Is there any possible way to describe Jesus as weak? I mean, you know, he goes into the temple and kicks over the money changers' tables. He faces the Pharisees over and over again. And not only does he face them, he always puts them in their place, right? So it's not about being weak. He had total control of every situation that he was in, even including being nailed to the cross. He had total control of that situation as well. So it's not about weakness. It's about his choice of how to deal with situations and to demonstrate what meekness really looks like. He could have called down, you know, legions of angels to take him away from that cross should he have decided to. But he chose not to. And thanks be to God that he didn't, because without that sacrifice, you and I would have no hope of a home in heaven, that inheritance that we talked about. Moses is also listed and given as an example for us in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "And now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Wow. That's a really big saying. We were talking at the break about, you know, losing something and looking for it. And right now, I can't tell you how many times I went, "Well, I can't find something. I've looked everywhere." Really? Did you look everywhere? I mean, you went to China to look for this thing? No, I didn't go everywhere, right? This says that Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Out of everybody that was alive right then, Moses was the most meek. Period. That's what that said. Wow. That's an example. Moses withstood against Pharaoh. That doesn't sound weak, does it? So the descriptions and the examples that we see about what meekness is about is not about not being able to stand up against the trials that we'll face in our life. It's the opposite. As a matter of fact, it's about having a peace and contentment about being able to stand against those trials. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. He said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So to be a godly person and to be content with whatever life deals you. Now, there's quite a bit of difference between being happy about what life deals you and being content with it. Let's see if I can give you an example of that. You mind if I pick on you, Mike?
No.
Mike's got some medical issues going on right now. You think he's happy about that? It's not about being happy about it. But as I was talking to him just a few minutes ago, it strikes me how content he is with his situation. There's totally a big difference between being content and being happy. As a matter of fact, when the Bible talks about being joyful, there's a complete difference in the idea of having joy as a Christian. My joy as a Christian is not determined by the conditions in my life at any given point, but my happiness is. You know, if I get up in the middle of the night and walk back to my bedroom without turning on the light, you know, walk back to the bed without turning on the light and I stub my toe, I'm not going to be happy about it. Does that ever happen to me? Occasionally. I'm not happy about it, but it has nothing to do with my joy. My joy is based on the fact that my Savior died for me. And when I was washed in that watery grave of baptism, my sins were forgiven. And because of that, I don't have to carry guilt. Because of that, I know what tomorrow may bring. As Danny mentioned about being ready for whatever may come, I can be ready. I can be content with that. I can be okay with whatever comes. I can even have joy with whatever comes. But it's not about being happy. So don't mix up those ideas. Forget the idea of happiness. I want you all to have happiness. Absolutely, I do. But more than that, God wants you to be content. God wants you to be meek. He wants you to be gentle and humble. On down in verse 8, he says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Again, Danny and Tony and some others are going over to Africa in just a few days. That's a whole different kind of contentment. You know, I like sleeping indoors in an air-conditioned building, and I like having running water, and I like knowing that if I go home right now, I can open up the refrigerator, and I can get out more than I need, right now. I like that. And I'm not sure that immediately I could learn how to be content without that, because I've never had to live without that. But there are, we got brothers and sisters in the world that don't have that, yet they can be content. Now, what a lesson there is for me to learn from them. So we've talked about meekness and humility and gentleness of spirit, and even in our mannerisms, right? So as I work on myself, and I'll tell you this, I've probably told all of y'all this before because I've spoken in front of most of you before. Very few improvements in my spiritual maturity have ever taken place without behavioral changes on my part. Don't kid yourself into saying that, well, I can just think this into more maturity. No. Spiritual maturity says that I am learning how to be the man that God wants me to be. I'm not there yet. Boy, I got a lot to work on. But every step in the direction of maturity has caused me to change behaviors. Changing my behavior to become more meek, more mild-mannered, is something that I work on. I hope over time you guys see an improvement in that. I live life right out in front of everybody, so if you hadn't figured that out, I don't have a lot of secrets. And, you know, I'm standing up here in front of you, warts and all. And I'll tell you this too. I'm a sinner, just like you are a sinner. And any man that will stand up in front of you and say that he's perfect, you need to run him out, because he's not. He'll lie to you. But as we talked about all these ideas about being gentle and humble and having that contentment, there's a flip side to that. So there's usually, and almost every concept that you can come up with, you can also come up with an opposite concept. And the opposite concept, and this one in my mind, of meekness, the opposite of meekness would be pride. So, help me, and let's open a discussion and talk and contrast the idea of meekness and pride. I had asked Brother Ken during the break if he would get us a few scriptures around the idea of pride to kind of kick this discussion off. Could you offer us a couple of passages?
Several passages, and some I couldn't find. I know they're supposed to be in there, but I got a new Bible. It's located a whole lot different. And I'm looking, you know, where the first page.
I have been through that many times.
But of course, the scriptures talk about a proud look goes before destruction in one place. And,
well, that's interesting, too. Because it's also a characteristic and a condition. So the characteristic of a proud look has a condition that goes with it. It goes before destruction.
That's right. So one of the abominations is a proud look, lying tongue, so discord among brethren and things along that line as well. There's a couple of scriptures in Proverbs that are very simple, but wouldn't hurt to show. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." Any politician doesn't talk to lowly?
I don't know them. I don't know them on the back half of that, the front end of it, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Proverbs 13 and 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." So that's pretty well good. I guess one of the most striking things about pride is when you think about Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, he was proud of all that city he had built for my glory. Ah, just look at me. Have you ever heard my pocket say that too? And anyway, I think that just shows very, very much about what pride can do. You can really be lifted up if you're not careful and don't realize that. Well, I guess like Solomon talked about in Ecclesiastes, all these things he's got somebody else to have them, and they might even be a fool. And so he wasn't proud in one sense from that, because he knew that it wasn't going to last for him.
The old vanity of vanity.
Pride's the thing that you have to, I guess, keep under control. And one of the things that John talks about is not the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So all those things would be things that we need to conservative as well.
I think you're absolutely right. And in this country, especially in the United States of America, pride of life is scary for us because it's an easy trap to fall into. As I mentioned just a minute ago, I can't ever remember a time in my life. Some of you may have different experiences. I don't know your experiences. But I can honestly stand before you and tell you, I've never been hungry a day in my life because I didn't have something to eat. I've been hungry a few times because I was sick and didn't feel like eating. But that's not the same. Like I told you, I've always been able to go somewhere. I was talking to Sister here during the break about getting off the school bus at my grandmother's house. There was always food in the oven ready to eat when I got home from school. You know, there were some biscuits and cornbread and some leftovers from lunch. It was there. I don't understand that. I can't even comprehend what it means not to know if you're going to get to eat tomorrow, like our brethren in Africa. I can't comprehend that. So for me, in this country, with the blessings that we have, it's easy for us to develop pride in the fact that I'm not hungry. I mean, does that make sense to you guys? I mean, this, we can be prideful about anything. And it's not, as Brother Tim said, there's nothing wrong with having a kitchen that's well stocked. Nothing wrong with that. That's not sinful in and of itself. But if we let the fact that we are truly blessed get in the way of our understanding of where those blessings come from and who makes those possible for us to the point that we're haughty, then we've turned it into something that it shouldn't be.
Think about the Revelation where it talks about the church there. Thought they were rich, come to find out they were poor and wretched and miserable.
And didn't even know it.
That's right. So I guess it's easy to fall into that too. We bless us in many things and then don't consider it rich. Yep. Really, you're not good off, perhaps, as you think you are spiritually. That was the case of the church in Revelation. That.
What about it, J.D.?
I'll make this. You versus me, learn to control the body. It's a sign of Jesus, learn to control the body. He didn't lust for the flesh, he knew God's will, and he had strength. And so with meekness, you learn to control your temper. The ninth verse is peacemaker. Well, you can't be a peacemaker unless you're meek. And then when somebody does you wrong, if you're meek, you control yourself, and you can be a peacemaker. So you have the meekness of strength. Learn to control yourself.
Discipline, yeah. You're describing discipline.
I like you mentioned, not exactly study, but all of these things, the attitudes, can just about apply to one person. I mean, you can't...
They should.
Can't say that... One excludes the other, but you need to have
them all. That's right. That's right. And each one of these are describing, I guess, the condition that you receive are all conditions that are received by children of God. So if you look at, if you back up and look at the whole list, these are all conditions that as God's children we will receive, but we must develop each one of these characteristics in our own lives.
To me, it comes in order. You know, poor in spirit, I got to realize I'm nothing. And it's not about me, it's about God and what God has done for me. He gave His Son. And so it makes me poor to think what He's done for me. And then after you do that, you're poor, it makes you more to realize because of His Son, because of my sin, to be saved. And then from the poor, after you mourn, then you receive the meekness and realize what God's requiring of you. He's requiring strength. And then from the meekness, then you can hunt, then that's when you start hungry and thirsting after righteousness. And you gotta, so all this to me goes in order. Then after you hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful. You understand the mercy God give me, forgive me of my sins, And so I got to be merciful and show mercy to everybody, realizing what God has done for me. And so it looked like all these. You can't be a peacemaker unless you're meek. Because if you ain't meek, you ain't going to show no peace to nobody.
Amen. I think you're right. I think they build on each other, but they're not to be, you know, we just can't pick and choose which one we want. It's these are all characteristics of God's children. And if we expect to be called God's children, we will work on developing each one of these. Yeah.
Well, that added to things. It also reminds me of what Peter said when he talked about that here. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, kindness, brotherly kindness, and charity. So you need to give them an order kind.
Yep. Just kind of build on each other. That's right. Any other brother have a comment to make in that regard? Not. I'm unvoluntold. Thank you.